Well, good morning. What a marvelous morning it has been already. My heart is full. Sometimes when a church falls on a holiday, you know, people are distracted. It happens. And so I just love that today we have been very just focused, and we have been lifting up the name of Jesus the whole way through, and we're going to continue. And so we are going to get started. But before any time before I speak, I desperately give a plea to the Lord to fill my mouth. I'm like, I've done the prep, I've done the things, but Lord, you've got to fill my mouth. So please join in me as I pray that what you guys get is from his heart. So Lord, we just come to you, and we're so grateful for today, and we're grateful for the things that you have already spoken. And I love how it aligns with messages that you've already laid in my heart. And so God, today I am your vessel. I am for you to use as you see fit. And I just open up my mouth and ask that you would fill it with the words, God, that you want to go forth, and I pray that the soil of people's hearts would be ready to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title of my message is God is the Strength of My Heart, and we'll talk about that in a little bit of why I named it that. But yeah, so as most of you know, we have a child graduating this year. And I don't know about you guys, but you know, there's usually some preparation that happens for that. And so I spent, I don't even know how many hours going through thousands of photos because I wanted to capture the best ones. Kirk likes to take photos, and I'm so grateful because then when I go back, I'm like, oh, right. But the process of going through these thousands of photos, so I'd like go find the one, you know, one out of the like 15 for that event and, you know, download it. And so I thought I was doing pretty good, and I would got to the end, and then even out of those, I wasn't going to like get them all printed because we certainly don't need, you know, that many. And so I'm like picking and choosing out of the ones that I downloaded and uploaded a certain amount. And when I went to Shutterfly to, you know, go ahead and order it, it said 884 photos. I'm like, oh my, we're not ordering 884 photos. So I had to go through again and way trim things down. But as you're going through, you know, these photos, you're kind of like experiencing so many of the emotions from those moments. You're remembering them. You know, you're just taking a trip down memory lane. And I'm going to show you a couple of them here because you're going to see baby Taylor. I did warn him right beforehand that I was showing him some photos. But you know, when you become a mom, like things change, everything changed. You know, like you got married and you know, so I married Kirk, and for the most part, he takes care of himself, right? I mean, like, sure, we can cook and do things like that, but like he can live by himself. He can, you know, do hygiene and feed himself. There's all those things that, you know, he does on himself. Like, you don't have the same level of input and care that is needed than when they are in that first little photo, right? Because that one is completely dependent upon my care to nourish, to care, and to protect, right? We want to make sure nothing happens. And as they grow up, you know, there's all these different stages. You're teaching them, you're guiding them, you're encouraging them, you're cheering them on, you know, like the first time they do anything, like they take a step, yay, good job! You know, the first time they smile, right? Like the first time they smile, everyone, like every mom, oh, good job! Like you're cheering them on for these just moments throughout their life. And you're praying for your children through happy and troubling times. You share and instill lifelong knowledge, virtues, character, and love. And some days that is easier than others, right? You know, I really remember when Taylor was a toddler, he just was always on the go. Okay. A lot of little boy, I mean, they're just on the go. And thankfully we had Aspen, who definitely helped keep an eye on him. You can see they obviously were helping one another in that photo. But I remember days where I just would go to bed, like the moment that I put him in bed and it was done. The day was done, right? And I was like, okay, I can breathe a sigh of relief. It's bedtime. Number one, we made it through another day. And two, I can just relax for a moment. Because so many times when you're a mom, you're just kind of on this, like, you know, hyper-vigilant, keeping an eye. Where'd they go? What happened? And so as they're growing through these stages, you know, as a mom, you're stretched physically. Has anyone, any moms and dads, honestly, had some sleepless nights caring for children, right? Anyone being stretched emotionally, you know, the 1,001 questions that happen, the fits or squabbling children, anybody, right? Does that test you emotionally? It does. How about mentally, right? Trying to stay one step ahead of them or trying to figure out a way to teach them or to fix something or to heal something. Like, you're always being stretched. You know, maybe your kid is in school and they're not capturing a concept. Then you're like, okay, well, how can we do this? What can we do? How can we make things easier? Like, or they're going through a problem with somebody and you're trying to like, well, let's see, how can we navigate this? Like, you're just constantly going. And then you're stretched spiritually. And there's only really one word that I can honestly use for this. And that's going to be trust. Because I think that's the only way you get through the spiritual stretching. So as a mom and as a person in life, isn't it easy to want to control everything? Right? Because we feel like if we control the environment and the circumstances, then we can control the outcomes. And ultimately, we want our children to grow up and we want them to be formed into amazing adults who love and live for Jesus all their days. So we think that if we can control how that happens, we know we will get the outcome we want. But does it work that way? No, it doesn't. We don't control everything, and we shouldn't control everything. And so as I continued to look through these photos, I found out that there were more and more things that I wanted to control, but that I couldn't. We started the whole car driving thing. We went in airplanes that a stranger took him up in and flew around. He was good, but, you know, there's snowmobiles and wondering, are they okay? And what did they try to do this time? There's football. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when you hear the crash and clack of the helmets and the people coming against, like that's a scary moment for a mom. Like, just ask a mom after a football game how they feel. Relief. Relief is what they feel because they just made it through another game, right? There's the farming. There's lifting these stupid heavy weights that I just... I'm like, I don't think our bodies were made to do that. But then my husband assures me that they actually are, with about 80 reasons why they are. So I'm trusting. And the list goes on and on. And as they grow, there's all these things that I cannot control. And I'm not supposed to. And so it leads me to this verse. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. And the older I get And the older my children get, the more this verse means to me. Because so many times I feel like my heart is failing. Just ask in the middle of a game or when you're waiting to hear on something and it feels like things are failing inside. But God is the strength of my heart. And it's really the prayer that he would be the one that I would turn to, that he would be my source of hope. And notice that I said it's the prayer of my heart because I have not attained this. I am on the journey. This is my goal, right? This is our goal. This is not like I have not arrived or gotten this. So for us moms and everyone in this room, the rest of this message is really talking about one of the most beneficial things that we can do for our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our family. It isn't to control them to keep them safe, but it's to pray for them and then trust. And so prayer is actually what we're going to be doing because prayer is how I get to that point. It's me taking the things that I'm concerned, the things that I'm worried about, the things that are on my heart, and it's giving it to Jesus and then relying on him. Okay? And I love this. We love the word of God here, right? And so we're going to go to the source and we're going to look at some praying moms in the Bible. But I loved this quote. It was from the Desiring God website. If you follow the greatest men of God back to their beginnings, you will often find a mother kneeling to pray. And I love that this room is full of moms that pray. And we have been able to be recipients and blessings of that fruit. All right. So the first one we're going to talk about is Hannah. And Hannah, I'm going to give you a super quick background story. Hannah was barren. And for sure, in those days, that was really a mark of almost shame. It was just, it was a very heavy, heavy load. And her husband had another wife, and they had children, and this other wife would mock Hannah. So as you can imagine, think about your deepest wound being exposed and having the other person in the household just every time you see him, just take it and just kind of shove their finger in that wound and just make it hurt even more. And it distressed her. And it distressed her to the point of affecting her physically. And so she and her husband had gone to the temple. And so she continually went to the temple and she was praying. And she was so overcome with emotion that the priest thought she'd been drinking too much. So imagine that she's in this state of desperation. But then her prayer was answered. And I want to read this because a child is born to her. It says, I prayed for this child and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord. And then it actually goes right into it. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. And so what can we learn about Hannah in prayer? Number one, our children belong to the Lord first. And I think if we recognize that and we live in a place of that, it helps us open our hands a little bit and also helps us not carry the weight that we can feel. Now, should we be involved and do things for our children that are going to give them the best possible pathway towards Jesus? 100% yes. Not saying just take your hands off and let them go live their life and just pray and trust God. That is not what I'm saying. So everybody got that? That's not what I'm saying, okay? Like, do the things the Lord instructs us. And I talk about that later, but there's a certain extent where we cannot sit and control and steer our children because they have a free will, okay? And so we have to trust the Lord with our children first. And there was this quote, "The key is to understand that our children don't belong to us. They belong to God. Our goal as parents must not be limited by our own vision. I am a finite, sinful, selfish man. Why would I want to plan out my children's future when I can entrust them to the infinite, omnipotent, immutable, sovereign Lord of the universe? I don't want to tell God what to do with my children. I want him to tell me." And I think that is an incredible way to look at things, going, yes, we have dreams for our children. I certainly do, right? We want to see things happen, but we trust our children with the Lord first, right? And the second thing that we learn from Hannah is to exchange your worries about your child's future for praise. Okay? In that second part of the verse that I had shown you, I think I can do it. It says, "Then Hannah prayed, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. There's no one holy like the Lord." She was going to be saying goodbye to her child, where she would see him. Like, she was literally giving him to the temple to have serve under the priest and to be raised there. And so she's giving him and trusting him and going, "Lord, whatever the future holds, I'm going to meet you with praise first. I'm going to praise for my child and their future." And so we have a testimony from Marilyn that is going to kind of tie in with this about praising and trusting the Lord with our kids.
It was kind of unique how the Lord just led with the supernatural journey and the supernatural transformation of lives. 45 years ago, Stan and I gave our lives over to the Lord Jesus. He accepted him as our Lord and Savior, and he began to teach us about a supernatural journey. And of course, the Bible was the first book he brought into our lives. We never read it before then. And then after that, he brought along one called Power and Praise by Merlin Carruthers. And he began to teach us how to praise in storms. And we praise through storms of where we experienced supernatural healing and financial miracles. And then there was the greatest storm of all was our son Kirk. And he taught us step by step how to praise him through that storm. And I think most of you know, in the middle of a storm, when God's teaching you things, sometimes the spirit of fear grabs a hold of you. And Kirk, in his darkest hour, kind of the bottom of his journey of that darkness, rolled a pickup and ended up in jail for drunk driving. And when I heard about this, fear just came up. Fear came on me, and I said to Stan, "That kid is going to kill himself and end up in hell." Kind of experiencing the emotions again. And the Holy Spirit, I heard him really clear and loud in my spirit. And he said, "Stop cursing him and start blessing him." And Holy Spirit taught me Kirk's picture was of graduation picture was on the wall, and it would remind me every morning. And I'd go over to it, and I'd lay my hands on it, on him. And I would speak life and freedom and deliverance, whatever the Holy Spirit gave me every day. And eventually, as Kirk turned around and I told him about this, he said, I am almost 100% sure that that's when my heart began to change. And he started coming back to the Lord. And so I just want to say, no matter what storm you're in, just praise God through it. The power of praise will break the hold of darkness in your life. And I'm just so grateful that now you get to experience our miracle with us, our Pastor Kirk. Who would I ever thought? God has a sense of humor. And you guys get to enjoy it.
Thank you so much. Amen. Hallelujah. Our children belong to the Lord first. Exchange your worries about your child's future for praise. The next person that we are going to look at is Hagar. And the quick background from Hagar is simply this. She was a maidservant for Sarah, who was married to Abraham. And Sarah was barren as well. And so dealing with so much of the same feelings, the same shame, the same heartache. And so she was going to fix the problem and encouraged her maidservant, or actually encouraged Abraham to sleep with her maidservant. And she got, you know, pregnant. And then, not that any wife or person, well, no wife would do that, but not that a woman ever changes her mind. But after the fact, Sarah changed her mind and thought that was not a great idea. And so then she began to have all these feelings, and she began to really take them out on Hagar and mistreated her. And so Hagar ran away because she didn't know what else to do. And she is in quite the predicament when the Lord encounters her. And so let's look at, let me make sure I'm at the right, yes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, that's the wrong one. I'm so sorry. I did skip ahead. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. Have we heard that this morning already? All right. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. And so what happened is the Lord met her in her point of desperateness. And she recognized and gave her a promise, actually, in that moment. And so she goes back to Abraham, and she has the child named Ishmael. But then things went south again. And eventually, Hagar and Ishmael are sent off into the desert. Does anybody know that the desert can hold death, right? She's being sent off basically to die. They are in dire circumstances, and there seems to be no answer close. And so I can't imagine as a mom being in the situation that she was in. She went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to sob. And God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. What can we learn from Hagar? We learn from Hagar to pray in whatever circumstances, even if you don't know the words to use. Some of us have been in circumstances where we just didn't know what else to say. We didn't know what to pray. And so we spilled our tears out before the Lord. And God sees and he knows what those tears are. He knows your heart. When God saw Hagar's tears, he cared for her and gave her a promise. The promise, I will make a great nation. And even in less than ideal situations, we can see the power of a praying mother. Sometimes we don't have words. We just weep for our children. And God sees and he hears those too. And I love the verse, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy.
So I have my mom necklace on, Tree of Life, a little probably diamond, fake diamond chip for each one of the kids and grandkids. I have my Tree of Life Bible. And I'm just going to start out with this because this is who I want to be. And I'm going to say she instead of he, if that's okay. She will be like a planted tree over streams of water, producing its fruit during its season. Its leaf never droops, but in all she does, she succeeds. And if there's one thing that I wanted to succeed in, it was to be a mother, a good mother. Maybe not always a great mother, but a good mother that would train my kids according to the Word of God. So I have notes. I am not my mother. My mom was a person of few words. I'm not. So she could easily cover this in 4 minutes, 5 minutes. I'm going to race along and do the same, but I'm going to probably triple the words. Okay? So everybody, I'm sure, has read of this. A newspaper columnist, Irma Bombeck. She did this Mother's Day little deal. And so it's about our angel and the Lord. There's a leak, the angel pronounced. This is creating a mom, okay? It's not a leak, said the Lord. It's a tear. What's it for? It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride. The angel said, "You are a genius." The Lord looked a little somber. He said, "I didn't put it there." And so moms are unique. We are created with emotion, and we can use it wisely, or we can use it destructively. And I have had to apologize to my kids for being destructive at times and say I'm sorry. So if there is something between mom and the kids, get it right, okay? Okay, so as long as there's been moms, there's been tears. I'm going to tell you about my three kids. My kids did cause me distress. Our son Ryan, he had a learning disability, and it was hard for him. And he was suicidal. And my heart would break when I'd see him go up the steps, defeated. And one night, the Holy Spirit in here just let me know he is suicidal. And then gave me the words to pray, how to pray for him and to trust him. Miss Marnie, she was Miss Perfect, but she did have some issues like, am I good enough? Am I doing enough? Am I pretty enough?
Sounds about right, Mom.
Yep, yep. I'm just going to bear it out here. And so I would pray for her. I'd say, Holy Spirit, how do I pray for her? And so I prayed that her heart would see her as God sees her. And I think even as we age, we sometimes need to remind ourselves we need to look inside and see what God sees and not what we see. And then Kelly, she was the last. She was the spoiled one. And She had self-worth, self-identity issues, and she had been bullied some because of her weight. And so it was hard. Teacher gave me a letter, and I broke down crying because she's living in my household, and I wasn't truly aware of everything that was going on in her life, and we had a broken heart here. So we prayed for her, and sowed a lot of tears over my kids. And today, Kelly is a professor. She rose above, and she knows who she is. And it's just fun to visit with her. But the Holy Spirit is who we need to consult when we're praying for our kids. And, you know, sometimes in the Word it says that He will pray through us with just groans, and we tear up. We don't know what we're praying. Holy Spirit knows what we're praying and how to pray. And then that kind of, however, moves up the elevator, and you start to realize that, oh, that's what we're praying. That's how we're praying for our kids. God hears you in your distress, just like He heard Hagar. Sowing in tears is a good thing. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm such a baby. No, you're not. It's emotion. It's what's coming out from here. We love our kids, and we pray for our kids. Sometimes they're just wonderful, happy prayers. Other times, there's intercession. God, my child needs You to touch their life. So I'm glad that God understands tears. He understands our prayer. In the midst of distress, God is involved. He sees, He hears, He's on the move. There's that He sees thing again. It's a good theme. Many times I had to wait for the joy from the weeping. But through that time, and this is a word that you used, I did not know you were going to use it, is trust. I can truly say that in my walk with the Lord, my trust meter has risen some. It's not all the way up to the top, but I am finding myself, oh, okay, I can trust. I'm just going to go back once. When you guys were in youth group, Ryan took off. Marnie calls me. She's distressed, very distressed, because Ryan was very upset. And she says, I don't know, he just might. I said, Marnie, we can't be there with him, but the Holy Spirit is with him and has it covered. That's where I had to land in trusting God with my kids, because I can't be there. We can teach, but they make decisions. Okay, so I'm very proud and pleased. My kids are living with an awareness of God today. They know who to go to for issues in their lives. And the tear thing, I'm a baby. I cry a lot. I do. Maybe sometimes you see me sitting down here. It's because God's doing a work in my heart, and I'm just so in awe of His presence. That's all I can do. Is just weep. So there's usually nothing wrong. It's just that His presence is moving in my spirit. So now when you see that happen, say, oh, God's working on her. Cleaning her up. So how I want to encourage you is that let the tears fall. Waiting for the harvest of the joy. Always being grateful and thankful for the joy. And I'm just going to read this out of the Tree of Life Bible, that verse. Whoever keeps going out, okay, verse 5. Those who sow in tears will reap with a song of joy. Whoever keeps going out weeping, carrying his bag of seed, that can be any kind of seed, will surely come back with a song of joy, carrying his sheaves, the harvest. Answered prayers. Heaps, bunches of them. Limitless. Just be faithful and trust.
Mom. Our next one is Mary. And Mary, we would know as one of the most revered mothers in the Bible, the mother of Jesus. And of all the young women at that time, God chose her to be Jesus' mother. And before she had even become the mother of Jesus, she reveals to us a very necessary and vital way to pray. Now, backstory. The angel Gabriel came to talk to her. She was betrothed, engaged already, and plans were set. And all of a sudden, there was a huge change to her plans, her dreams, her expectations. Not only that, but what she was told by the angel was simply impossible. And there were so many what ifs. She could be stoned. But Mary, in that moment, when she gets the news that she is going to be the mother of the Son of God, everything changed. She says this, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left. Mary teaches us to pray with a surrendered heart. Earlier, we talked about giving our kids to the Lord, but this is even deeper. This has to do with the work of God that is going on in our hearts. It is saying every time, "Lord, have your way. I lay mine down." Holy things happen in this place. And it is this way of praying that I believe has the most impact because it is the prayer that ultimately changes us. As we are surrendered fully, we live an example to our children that speaks louder than any words we could ever say. Trisha.
All right, surrender. Everyone's favorite topic. So I've come to understand surrender as an agreement with the Lord or a big yes, right? In all caps. Surrendering our will and wants to his ultimate plan doesn't always feel fun. However, it births a yes in us and grows a trust in us that makes a way for even deeper faith and even more breakthrough. So my story is almost 20 years ago now, Stephen and I had decided it was time to start a family. We didn't realize that it would take another year and a half until we saw that dream realized. And that might not seem like a very long time. You're like, oh, seriously, that's not bad. But when you're ready to be a mother, and every single month your body says no, it starts to feel like years go by. But there was a treasure in it because I was able to fully practice surrender. The art of trusting him, his timing, and his larger plan. So a month before we were set to start medication and a plan with the fertility clinic, we were preparing to go on a missions trip with COC. And we decided, you know what, we're just going to focus on this and just not even think about the whole pregnancy thing, right? And guess what? I got pregnant. It's like, okay. We were out of our minds excited, of course, to know that Elliot was on his way, and suddenly all the tears and questions and surrender were worth it. We were also able to witness a miracle shortly before he was born, as doctors told us one of his kidneys weren't developing properly. And so we prayed right here in this church, and Elliot was born with two fully functioning, healthy kidneys. Praise Jesus. So I'll leave you with this. One thing that surrendering has taught me is to remember that his timing is best. Doesn't have to make sense to us. And I can actually see now, years later, that the school class that Elliot grew up with, the friends that he has now, even the program at the college that he's going to, which is fresh and new, wouldn't have been there before. It's all part of the larger plan that God saw. And that plan is perfect. So surrender to me is learning how to walk with a huge yes in every area of our lives, knowing he's good and trusting in the larger plans that many times only he can see.
Oh my goodness. There's treasures this whole way. Well, this is our last one, all right? And this is Lois and Eunice. And we have one single verse that tells us about Lois and Eunice, but their impact on Timothy's life, who served Paul, was immeasurable. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Because of their influence and their faithful example, Timothy chose to follow Jesus and became a disciple, a missionary, and supported Paul. In fact, he has a book in the Bible that says 1 Timothy, and there's another one called 2 Timothy. How many of you have that distinction? But all because of the prayers and the teaching of his mom and his grandma. You never know the seed you are sowing. Don't stop sowing. Don't stop praying. And now comes my testimony. I wasn't going to cry. I saw the pictures. I'm like, I'm good. Don't stop sowing, ever. While I know this is Mother's Day, and this section talks about the influence of the mother and grandmother, more so I want to emphasize the importance of believing for generations to walk in the way of the Lord and the pathways the Lord has created for our children, our children's children, and beyond. We, meaning my brother and I, had the opportunity, and Kelly later, had the opportunity to go and spend weeks out of the summer at my mom's parents on the farm. We attended VBS, which I remember as a young kid. We helped grandma and grandpa with work on the farmstead, and I'm sure made their lives way more noisy and probably complicated than what they were used to. And as I've grown older, I've been able to look back and recognize the gift that time was. Part of that gift was that my grandparents invited us into their regular, normal lives, where we became a part of their rhythms. They didn't stop their lives to engage us, but rather they invited us into theirs. And so that meant every morning, right here. Now, this is Kelly. I didn't have a picture of me, but every morning, we would sit at the breakfast table, and my grandpa would pull out the Bible, and we would have devotions. Guess which ones? Our daily bread. And we would sit there, and we would look at cereal boxes while he talked. But there were seeds that were sown. He would read the passage for that day. Every morning, every Wednesday, we went to church, even if there were just five of us there. It was a really tiny church. Sometimes we were it. that was it. But we went because it was a priority and it was important. And we went because they showed us what it was like to be faithful. Every Sunday, we hopped into the big old green LTD. The thing was just huge. And we joined the small, faithful congregation to worship the Lord, sometimes with an organ, sometimes with a piano, sometimes a cappella, but we would sing and we would listen to the word of God being shared. And I would watch and I observed my grandparents as they sang and as they listened and as they prayed and as they visited and as they served. I watched them. Seeds being scattered and sown time and time again. And it was not unusual for me to see my grandpa doing this. He would sit in the chair or on the couch. And now, here is the precious word of God that he poured over. Little side note, I found the original purchase receipt in the Bible. Bought January 1953 for $24.95. My grandpa was not an extravagant man. The fact that he would purchase this Bible for what would be $300 in today's was not because he wanted a really classy Bible. He wanted the Word of God, and he would invest in it. And so as I was thinking about how to end this message, I was paging through this very carefully. It is old. And I found there aren't like a ton of things marked. There are things marked, but it's not like every verse, you know, like some of us, like we like to mark every verse because like every verse is good. And he had some marked. And I just wanted to read it because I feel like this is the closing that we need. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commands, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And then we're going to just skip down to the next one that he has. Therefore, shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when they sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon the gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. I feel that the perfect ending to this message is that my grandparents lived that message. They invited me in. And they constantly sowed seeds that went beyond even those they had the opportunity to meet this side of heaven. But because they prayed, they impacted my parents on that lovely little photo in the bottom. And they've impacted me, and prayerfully I've been able to impact my kids, and prayerfully that will go on for generations to generations. As we face the highs and lows with our kids, as we look at the worries and the joys, it is my prayer that the Lord will strengthen our hearts. And how do we have him strengthen our hearts? We go to him in prayer. And we pray knowing that our children belong to the Lord first. We exchange our worries for praise. And in whatever circumstances you are in, even your tears are a prayer. Pray with a surrender heart and pray with generations in mind. looking ahead to what God is going to do in their lives. All right. Lord, we thank you so much for today and just this legacy that you have given us. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are the one who strengthens our hearts. God, when it feels like our flesh and our heart may fail, when we're feeling the weight and the burdens of things that are happening around us, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us examples in your word of how we can strengthen our hearts by going to you. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that for every person represented here, it doesn't need to be a mom, that we would desire to rise up, Lord, to the occasion, Lord, to be people that find our strength in you. And Lord, that you would lead us and you would guide us, Lord, as we put our full trust in you and live surrendered unto you, God. Lord, just making impacts all around us. Lord, as we just point people to who you are, because you are so good and you are so faithful. I bless these amazing people in Jesus' holy and wonderful name. Amen. All right, you guys, have an amazing Mother's Day. Make sure to give your mom lots of hugs.